And these 21 pictures and the purpose for them is because he wanted to be able to illustrate scripture for those who are not able to read or those who have dyslexia, that they're able to look at those pictures and get a view of scripture, whichever book that might be. And so I thought maybe Dana even would like to look at the book of John and download that. It's at BibleGraphics.com. And you can download those pictures. You can download each one separately. That is a bigger picture that fits into PowerPoint. Or you could download the pictures with inscriptions underneath it. Download the all 21, or however is the best way to do it. So I felt led of the Lord to go ahead and go through the book of Revelation using these pictures to help us and to illustrate these different books in Scripture. And they're pretty neat pictures, exciting pictures, and I'll explain them in detail. But first of all, let's look at the introduction to the book of Revelation. First of all, the title of the book of Revelation comes out of Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, that says this: the revelation of Jesus Christ. So the purpose for the name is the content. A lot of books, the purpose for the name is because of the author in whom the Lord has led to write that particular book. But here in Revelation, it's because of the content. So the book of Revelation is due to Revelation 1:1. The key verse is this, Revelation chapter 1:19, that says, "Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall take place after these things." That's the key verse. The recipients are found in, you can also see them in John 1:1. This was often understood to be the Apostle John. John, who spent the later part of his life in Ephesus, a major city in Asia. And these major cities were the ones, the recipients in which received the audience, of course, are the seven churches. Asia refers to the Roman province of Asia, which was located at the western end of Asia Minor. John writes to them from Patmos, a small island in the Aegean Sea, where he had been exiled in Revelation 1:9. The date that this occurred, there's two opinions. Some believe maybe that during the reign of the Roman Emperor Nero from AD 54 to AD 68. Others believe it was during the reign of Domitian in AD 81 to 96. I found this paragraph: when there was intense localized persecution by the Roman Empire, Irenaeus, a church father during the second century, connected Revelation with Domitian. Many modern interpreters hold to this view. The style of this book is Revelation is written in an apocalyptic prophetic style. The book uses apocalyptic imagery to anticipate the final realization of God's reign, but ultimately functions as a prophetic message for the people of God in their current situations and trials. A quick outline. Outline is in Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 through 20, is a prologue and vision of Christ. Revelation 2, verse 1 to Revelation 3:10. Is messages to the seven churches. Revelation 4, verse 1 to Revelation 8:5 is the vision of heaven and the seven seals. Revelation 8, verse 6 to Revelation 11:19 are the seven trumpets. Revelation 12, verse 1 to Revelation chapter 14, verse 20 is the power of evil attacking the church. And then Revelation chapter 15, verse 1 to Revelation 16, verse 21 are the seven bowls. You see the trumpets, and these are the seals, the trumpets, and the bowls. If you want those alphabetical, they're the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and the seven vials. We'll make it alphabetical to help you to remember. The fall of Babylon is Revelation 17, verse 1 to Revelation 19, verse 10. And the final victory in the New Jerusalem, Revelation 19, verse 11 to Revelation 22, verse 5. And then the epilogue, Revelation 22, verses 6 through 21. The theme of the book of Revelation conveys the reality of evil, using images that can be disconcerting and even terrifying. But that is not the book's ultimate message. Jesus wants his church to know that despite opposition and persecution in the present, his purposes will prevail in the end. God reigns on the throne of the universe, and the slain lamb, Jesus, has triumphed through his sacrificial death and resurrection. In Revelation chapter 5, verses 6 and 9, no matter how much the forces of evil might appear to be victorious, their defeat is a foregone conclusion. We're going to win. We're going to be victorious. And as you look at the book of Revelation, we see that hope that we have, and that hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the introduction to the book of Revelation and the seven churches and the end result. Let's go ahead and let's look here in the book of Revelation as we study this book, very in-depth and very exciting book, as we look, first of all, at the introduction. Here the Word of God says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. That word shortly means quickly. The interlinear reads, to occur with speed. Behold, I am coming soon. He could come at any time. This last book of the Bible was written to equip the church to be true and faithful to her Lord and to prepare for his return. To come shortly, or shortly, come quickly, come to pass, and be sent and signify it by his angel unto his servant John. It was John that God used to pen these words of Scripture, the book of Revelation. So first of all, let's go ahead. Let's look at the first picture here. So we have the fact that the Holy Spirit is the one who penned these words. If you look in the upper left-hand corner, right under Revelation, you notice John's hand writing to the seven churches, and God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ's hand is over it, leading in his writing of Scripture, showing the fact that the Word of God is the inspired Word of God. Inspiration means God's superintendence of the human authors, so that they, using their own personalities, composed and recorded God's revelation in the words of the original autographs. So it's a neat little painting of the Savior's hand as he is over the hand of John as he pins these words, must shortly come to pass. So the Holy Spirit was using John to pin these words of future. The first picture covers the entire first chapter. Remember, we are seeking to illustrate the plan of action of the book. And not all the details. Let your mind's eye fill in the other details as you read and study the book. In the outline, this picture illustrates both A, opening words to the churches, B, the vision of the past, and listen, my children, God has spoken. Listen, my children, God has spoken is the title of the whole book of the book of Revelation. Listen, my children, God has spoken. The pictures are explained following the sequence of each one. And let me read. I have here the picture one is John wrote of Jesus, who is the all-seeing judge of the universe, the highest priest caring for his churches, and the great shepherd holding his under-shepherd. So you see the great shepherd holding the hand of the under-shepherd, John, as he writes the word of God. Listen, my children, God has spoken. You will notice that these notes are written in two parts. The first part follows the sequence of the biblical text, and that is found here in John or Revelation chapter 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Behold, he is coming in the clouds, who is to come, the Almighty. You notice in the upper left-hand corner that the painting is seen appearing of Christ in the clouds. In the upper left-hand corner, the clouds that are up there above the revelation is Jesus Christ coming in the clouds of the sky. The revelation was for the benefit of seven churches located in seven different cities in Asia Minor. If you look up here to the right, you notice the coastline and all seven churches right above the hand of Jesus holding the seven pastors of the seven churches. And you notice the on the coastline, you have each one of the churches recognized there and written there the picture of all seven churches. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8. And then number 4, write in the book what you see and send it to the seven churches. This was written to the seven churches in Revelation 1 and verse 11. That says, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches. The seven churches. Across the middle of the painting exists the scroll that John wrote. The scroll. You also see Jesus' feet walking amongst the seven churches that we'll see. Yes. They are in Turkey. It's right. Yeah, they know where each one was. And isn't it modern-day Turkey now? Most of them. Yep. John is writing the names of the seven churches with a pen, but John is not writing alone. Overshadowing his hand, superintending over the words he has written, appears the hand of God. We believe in the verbal plenary inspiration of the original manuscripts. Each book of the Bible, 66 books of them, has two authors, the human author and the divine author. In the middle of the lampstand was one like the Son of Man, clothed in a robe, reaching to his feet. Down to the ground, worn even by the high priest. We show this sense across the bottom, or we show this scene across the bottom of the canvas. He who said, I will build my church. And Jesus Christ is calling out a people for his name and caring for his church. As he walks amongst the midst of the churches around the seven candlesticks, which are the seven churches. His hair was as white as snow. His eyes as a flame of fire. His face glowed like the sun in its splendor. And out of his mouth came a sword, or a sharp two-edged sword, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 14. Now, some people believe as you look at this sword, you notice that the blade is on both sides. But when you read the Greek, it sounds like it's not a sword with two sharp sides, but rather just one side sharpened twice. That makes it even sharper than sharp. And so when it says two-edged sword, it's the idea of sharpening the same side twice, making it even sharper than normal. What's that? Yes. Yep. Yes. Our text speaks of the Lord's ability to see through all pretense. Nothing can be hid from his penetrating gaze as he is omniscient in Revelation 1:14. We picture a theophany of the resurrected, glorified Son of God, appearing as the all-seeing judge of the universe. The one who created the universe will also judge it. And then number 7, John is reminded that Christ holds the keys of death and of Hades. Look at Revelation 1:17 that says this. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. There is a note here, or there's a lot in store for this old world. But John is assured that Christ has it all under control, especially death and beyond. Illustrated by the Omega on the one key handle, only God knows the future. All others just second guess. The other key is in our painting, bears the shield of David, a six-pointed star reminding us that it is Jesus who controls the course of events of men and of nations. He permits the devil to do this thing. God's clock is ticking. Time is running out. So as you look at the painting, you notice to the left is the Omega, or Alpha, and then the Omega to the right on the two keys, and then the other key has the Star of David, that God is in control, that what he says is going to come to pass, that God's plan is secure, and that God is going to do exactly what he says. Time is running out when it comes to Satan, and the fact that it appears as though he's in control. It seems like he's the one that's winning. Number 8, in Christ's right hand are the messengers of the 7 churches, and that are the pastors. And when you look at these pastors are the first one. These are local pastors of local churches. The first one is actually to the left, to the right, is Pastor Franklin. He's the one who has done these paintings. It's the upper left-hand corner. Is Pastor Franklin. He's the one. What's that? He had them commissioned. And also, and you probably don't know these men, is Merle Milner, George Gunn, William Young, Joas Olives, and Mark Succo. And these pastors are present pastors today. And he just put them in the painting to refer to local pastors of local churches. And these 7 churches, of course, found in Asia Minor. John wrote of Jesus. The control, or the central feature of these pictures, is an open scroll. To the left, you will see the hand of God superposing over the hand of the Apostle John. God is the author of this book, as well as the other 66 books of the Bible. We want to go ahead and look at these 7 churches. And what John chapter 1, or Revelation, I keep saying John. John's the author, the one that God used to pen these words. But let's go ahead and let's look at these 7 churches. And what God's word says about these 7 churches. As found in the book of Revelation. First of all, the church of Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, the church of Ephesus, it says that Christ holds the 7 stars in his right hand and walks among the 7 golden lampstands. So let's go ahead and look at Revelation chapter 2. Let's begin reading. Revelation chapter 2, it says this, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write these things, saith he that holdeth the 7 stars. So these are the 7 lampstands, the churches, and then the 7 stars are the pastors of the local church. In his right hand who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks, you notice that he's walking amongst those 7 in the painting. I know thy words and thy labor and thy patience and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake have labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So let's look. First of all, Christ says he holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks amongst the seven golden lampstands. God's command to the church of Ephesus is your deeds, hard work, perseverance, does not tolerate wicked men, endures hardship, hates the practice of the Nicolaitans. His rebuke to the church at Ephesus is, has forsaken her first love. And when we talk about this first love, you remember the day when you came to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And I remember I was out in New Jersey at a camp called New Life Island. That's a pretty neat little island to come to new life, right? New Life Island. And I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And even though there was no mountaintops, I just wanted to run up on top of the mountains and shout, I am born again. How about you? I mean, I was so excited because of what Jesus Christ had done for me, that he died on the cross of Calvary, that I might have eternal life. And so this church at Ephesus had lost its first love. Lost the fact, that feeling that says, wow, look at what Christ has done for me. He has changed my life. And the church of Ephesus was a church that lost its first love, lost its compassion. And then we have an exhortation. The exhortation for the church was, remember, repent, do the things you did at first. Remember what it was like? Remember that day when you came to know Christ as your Savior? Why have you lost it? Why has it gone away? What's happened? Christ is still the same. He's still the same. Still sitting on the throne. We still have that hope. And the exhortation for the church of Ephesus is, remember that first love. Remember that day when you came to know Christ as your Savior. And the excitement that was there. And then we have the promise. The promise of God. We'll eat from the tree of life. Hey, remain faithful. Keep going. Don't quit. I'm going to win at the end. I'm going to be victorious. And one day you too will eat from the tree of life. That tree of life. Wow. Now we also want to look at Smyrna. And Smyrna is found in chapter 2, verses 8 through 11, where it says this. I think we have time for this last one. It says, or this next one rather. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna, write these things, saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for our sins, and now he is alive. I know thy words and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. So when we look at the church of Smyrna, Christ, the first and the last, who died and came to life again. The reference to Christ dealing with the church of Smyrna he commanded suffers persecution and poverty. He's telling the church of Smyrna, you're going to suffer persecution, you're going to suffer poverty. And then the rebuke is, or excuse me, no rebuke, but the exhortation, do not be afraid, be faithful even to the point of death. And then the promise is this, we'll receive a crown of life, will not be hurt by the second death. And that's the promise when it comes to the church of Smyrna. Now, we'll continue on next Sunday, looking at the book of Revelation and the churches. But when we look at these churches, all of these churches are real, actual churches that were in the land at that time, in Asia Minor. Today, now, modern-day Turkey. And these churches, some of them, as what was already said, do not exist anymore. But you can go to some of the ruins, and you can see some of them even today, and go back and see where they were, and a little bit about the landscape and things like that. But as we look at these real, actual churches, and we read through them, Jesus had a purpose for mentioning them. He also had a purpose in sharing with us the exhortation, the commandment, what the church was going through. And so as you look at these seven different churches, yes, they did exist. But I think that there's a historical reference to these as well. And we'll look at that next Sunday, that I believe that these churches actually illustrated different historical times in the age of the church, dealing with when the disciples, when they began their early church in Ephesus, and then continuing on through Smyrna and Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, as well as Laodicea. In other words, I believe that the church age today is we are in the time period of the church of Laodicea. That when you look at the church of Laodicea and the things that they go through and what's been going on, we can clearly see them taking place today. So I think each one of these churches is a historical reference to the time period. Now, Scripture doesn't tell us that. Nowhere in the Word of God does it tell us that each one of these, but when you look at the details and what they've gone through, and I'll point those things out next Sunday as we continue looking at the book of Revelation. So as you look at this picture, we can see the two-edged sword, Jesus walking amongst the candlesticks, the churches, that he's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, everything at the beginning, everything at the end, and everything in between. You look at the Star of David on one of those keys in reference to the fact that God is in control, that everything he says is going to come to pass. We have the seven pastors there in Jesus' right hand, and you can see the nail print in his hand if you look real close. The nail prints are there, and you see the sun over the hand of John as he's writing the book of Revelation, the fact that it is inspired. You see Christ coming in the clouds. You see the seven churches there on the coast. It's just a neat little painting to help people that might not even be able to read, or somebody that might have dyslexia that's not able to read, to be able to look at that picture and see what all is going to take place. That John was visited by the Lord Jesus Christ and shared with him the book of Revelation. Remember to read this book, because if you're looking for a blessing, here's where you can get it. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, this opportunity to study the book of Revelation and to look at it in a very interesting way, to understand it, to see what's going on, and to see that, yes, your plan is coming to be fulfilled. Maybe, Lord Jesus, you will come today. Maybe today. But Father, we pray that as you tarry, that you'll always allow us to share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, to share the plan of eternal life with those who are lost and dying in sin, that you are in control, and that the book of Revelation is soon going to come to pass, that those things written within are going to take place in the future. And Father, we pray that we can share that good news and warn those who have chosen to ignore the Word of God, chosen to ignore the Savior and why he came to die for the sins of the world. Father, we thank you for the Word of God, and we thank you for the blessing for reading the book of Revelation today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, you are dismissed. You can get up and stretch a little bit, but don't go anywhere. There's still more to come. I need to get some water. Do you know where some water is, Will? Is he?